You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff, thanks for joining us again.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Tomorrow is Constitution Day, and the CSPOA, which is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is having an event called the Lighting the Lamp of Liberty. Now, I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, I'm sure most of the listeners know who you are, but you are the sheriff, you are the person, you are the individual, the American, who actually challenged a law, a gun control law, I believe that was the Brady law, all the way up to the Supreme Court, and won. And I just want you to, Sheriff, because I always ask you this, because I'm always in awe of what you did and what you continue to do, just to explain to the listeners the significance of what happened there at the Supreme Court, and also let them know about the CSPOA, and then we'll get into the conference that's going on in the next couple of days.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty simple. I was the first sheriff in American history, and the only time this has ever happened that a sitting sheriff actually sued the federal government, and this was the Clinton administration, to stop gun control. But I actually sued on the 10th Amendment, not the 2nd. The 10th Amendment saying that they had no authority, no constitutional authorization or power to commandeer the office of sheriff to force us to participate in a federal gun control scheme. And I said, one, I don't do gun control. I swore an oath that I would not and could not. And the government has sworn the same thing, but does just the opposite. And we actually stopped a gun control movement known as the Brady Bill movement. There were 5 Brady bills scheduled to be passed one year after the other, and we stopped Brady bills 2, 3, 4, and 5, or at least we had a part in it. I honestly believe that, but regardless, we put the brakes on the Brady Bill movement, which would have completely gutted the Second Amendment, destroyed gun shows, destroyed gun dealers and gun shops all across the country, and was going to regulate out of existence ammunition, which is what they're trying to do now. So the subterfuge of the federal government has been ongoing for the last 30, 40, 50 years in order to get rid of the Second Amendment and our right to keep and bear arms in this country, because government, of course, does not like armed peasants. And the other part of that is that it was the strongest and most powerful 10th Amendment decision ever, saying that the federal government is not our boss. And if you ever want to read a decision, everybody should read this decision. But if you want to see a decision that specifically states that we're not subject to federal direction, in other words, they are not our boss. Federal government is not our boss. And of course, though, my new book addresses the issue of, well, they buy us off then. They can't legally and lawfully and constitutionally tell us what to do and control us, so they buy us off with federal grants. And the book, Are You a David, really addresses that big time. But the case is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision ever in the history of our country, and everybody needs to read it, and especially your local officials, so that we can become part of this movement that we are starting with the CSPOA, our Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, to have somebody stand up to the federal government. That's what this whole thing is about. In a peaceful, effective manner to protect people from being victimized by our own federal government, especially the IRS. And we all know the IRS is a criminal organization. They commit crimes against American citizens. They're used by presidents since FDR as political hitmen against enemies of the president or whoever else. And so the question is, the bottom line question is, who is going to protect the American people from the IRS? Is the president going to do that? I mean, that's a joke. Is Congress going to do it? Nope, another joke. They actually maintain the status quo of this Gestapo-like organization. And if the Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. would do anything to simplify the tax system at the federal level, we wouldn't even need the IRS. But because it's so convoluted and nobody can understand it, you have to have these monitors and checkers and police hovering over us and looking over our shoulder to make sure that we monitor ourselves correctly financially for them. And if we don't, then we go to jail or we get huge fines. And so the question remains, who is going to protect the American people from the IRS? Our solution and our answer is the same guy or gal who promised you when they took their job as sheriff that they would uphold and defend and protect and preserve the U.S. Constitution. They are the ultimate law officers in your county, and they are required by law and by sacred oath to protect us from all crimes, all criminals, all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so, yes, it is their job, and yes, that's exactly what we try to point out at the CSPOA, and tomorrow we're having a national press conference about that very issue.
Okay, great. And Sheriff, when did the CSPOA come into existence? Not too long ago, right?
Yeah, about 3.5, 4 years. Wow. And it's really made a huge impact already, because In just about every sheriff race in the country, you'll hear either citizens or at least one of the candidates say, I'm a constitutional sheriff. I will be a constitutional sheriff. And that's a huge paradigm shift. It used to be that, you know, hey, I'm just going to be the guy to, you know, patrol the neighborhoods and, you know, serve papers and try to protect people as best I can. And now it's gone to a new level. Yes, I will be here and defend you and your families against the federal government, against incursions, and against tyranny, and I will be the guard of the Constitution in this county.
Mm. Would it be safe to say that you are getting on their radar now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wish I wasn't on their radar, but, you know, we knew what we were getting into when we started this. And the more sheriffs we have on board with this, and the more people, for that matter, I mean, anybody can become a member, anybody can help us and support this, and we hope they do, because the bigger we are, the bigger our voice is, and the more power we have in telling others, sheriffs especially, but we want county commissioners and city councilmen and mayors and chiefs of police, patrol officers, everybody. We want all of them on board the Freedom Train and knowing that their real job is to keep their oath of office. Each of these individuals I just mentioned, each of these public servants, have sworn an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And we are the organization waking people up to their responsibility and reminding them of the oath they took and said, you know what, you need to know and understand the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, and then make sure nobody violates those principles in your jurisdiction.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. That brings me to this question. When you were sheriff in Arizona, did you have to study the Constitution and the Bill of Rights?
Oh, yeah. I required it. In fact, I created a little pocket constitution, Declaration of Independence, for each of our deputies to carry in their uniform. There's some that are kind of tall that don't fit over the front pocket flap. And so I made a different one so the officer and deputies could keep it right in their front pocket and put their pocket flap right over it. So yes, we did. I made it a point that we studied the Constitution, and I made it a point when I was a rookie cop back in 1983 is when I first really started studying the Constitution. But what made me, I mean, I wasn't born a constitutional cop, you know, I just wanted to be a cop. What made me change my mind about just being a cop was what I saw going on in government. And as a matter of fact, it was the wholesale distribution of traffic tickets. I just got to where I couldn't believe that this was proper anymore and that we were enforcing all these officious laws and treating people like chattel kind of thing. Just, you know, hey, we need to raise more money here, so we're going to write tickets and you're going to answer to every one of these. And I mean, if cops really wanted to, they could be writing thousands upon thousands of tickets every week, you know, and I'm talking about just each individual cop, because everybody violates the traffic codes in one way or another, probably 20 times a day. And my question was, why are we treating people like this? Why are we doing this when there has been no violation of the peace, or no one was injured and no one was threatened? Yeah, they were speeding a little bit, but they still threatened no one. They posed no safety hazard. No one's safety was ever threatened when I wrote people tickets. I mean, it was 90% of the time there was no threat to anybody. And so I said, why are we doing this? And I asked myself, why am I doing this? And so I started studying. And when I started studying, I ran smack in the face of the oath of office and the Bill of Rights. And I started looking at the Bill of Rights specifically. And I said, we're not doing this. We are violating the Bill of Rights. We are violating the pursuit of happiness and true protection and true service. And so that's when I decided to move home to Arizona and run for sheriff, because I wanted to run a police agency, a law enforcement agency, according to the Constitution. And I think I did a pretty good job of it. I wish I had done more. I really wish at the time that I had taken a stronger stand against the IRS. And that's what we're doing now. We're trying to make amends for that across the country. I threatened the Army Corps of Engineers when they came into our county and told us that we could not fix a bridge. Again, a bridge that was needed for our citizens to take their kids to school. And the Army Corps of Engineers says, you're not going to touch the bridge. And a year later, they still wouldn't allow us to fix the bridge because they were doing all their environmental impact studies. And then finally, the county commissioners voted unanimously just to fix the bridge. And the Army Corps of Engineers literally threatened to arrest them all. And they threatened to arrest all the maintenance workers at the site and then to fine the county $50,000 a day. And I called the Army Corps of Engineers in, their supervisors, and I said, hey, I haven't been involved in this situation, but now I am. Nobody's going to arrest anybody in my county without talking to me first. And I said, let me just make this real clear. If you arrest anybody in my county, I will arrest you. Most people just remember me as the sheriff who sued on the Brady Bill, but that didn't get much press. I'm kind of glad it didn't, I guess. You know, I wasn't trying to get press. I was just trying to do my job. But it probably was as significant as anything I ever did, because they could have called in the FBI and their SWAT teams and gone after me or whatever and tried to really go after me. But they respected me and they did what I said. And they went home safely and we fixed the bridge and nobody paid any fines and nobody went to jail. And that's what I think the epitome of the sheriff job is. Keep the peace, keep people safe, protect them from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and that's what I did.
Right, and all based on the Constitution.
Correct.
Right, which is, of course, very clear as to why you are considered a radical by the Southern Poverty Law Center, because you're following,
you're following the
Constitution.
But there's lots of sheriffs doing these similar things now. You know, Sheriff Rogers has threatened to arrest the FDA in his county, and he got rid of them. Sheriff Palmer has been fighting the Forest Service. Sheriff DeMeo protected the Hague family. In fact, we're going to be talking about them quite a bit tomorrow. The Hague, H-A-G-E, Wayne Hague, sued the BLM and the Forest Service and the federal government, and he fought them for about 30, 35 years. In fact, it went so long, his first wife died, his second wife died, he died, and then his sons and daughter picked up the battle and continued the fight. And they finally won, like about 2 or 3 years ago, they finally won at federal court. And it was on the same issue that the Bundys were fighting for, you know, to keep their ranch and to keep their water rights and grazing rights. And the federal government, they don't care how long it takes. They'll just keep throwing more money into it, more lawyers. And Wayne Hague ran out of money, and he finally just started representing himself because he couldn't afford to pay a lawyer anymore. Well, that's how they win both ways. You know, they were never reimbursed, but people need to understand something. This is what I hope all your listeners get, Dave, is this one thing. Wayne Hague won on these same issues, and the federal judge, Robert Jones, and it's in my book, this is documented in my book, Chief District Judge, Federal Judge, Robert Jones said the behavior of the federal government shocked the conscience of the court. And he even mentioned two of them by name, and he said they committed racketeering and criminal conspiracy to destroy the ranch business of the Hague family. And so you have to wonder why nothing ever happens, that the battles just keep going on and on, like the Bundys have had to fight the same thing, when there's already court precedent on this. And in saying that the federal government committed all these crimes, criminal conspiracy and racketeering, usually, only the mafia gets charged with racketeering. Very few people get charged with racketeering outside the mob or mafia or criminal organizations. And yet now he's claiming a judge, a federal judge, claimed that the federal government, BLM, and the Forest Service committed criminal racketeering and conspiracy against the Hague family. Nothing happened to him. Nothing's going to happen to the IRS. In fact, 1,100 IRS agents have been found cheating on their tax returns. Do you know what happened to him, Dave?
Let me guess.
Were they arrested? Were they prosecuted?
I know they were promoted.
They got bonuses. All of them.
Wow.
Yeah, and some were actually promoted. So, yeah, that's how things happen in the federal government. Do you remember the first Survivor victory on television? I didn't really watch it. I don't really care about it that much and
yeah,
still don't.
I don't watch it.
But his name was Richard Hatch, and he was a homosexual. He was out of the closet, and he won, and he won $1 million, and the IRS went after him and said that he cheated on his tax return, and he went to prison for 4 years. Yet 1,100 IRS agents do it. They're not fired. They're not prosecuted. They don't go to jail for 4 years, and yet they do that to Richard Hatch, and they do it to a lot of other of our neighbors and citizens of this great country. And there's a lot of innocent people who have never intended to commit crimes that the IRS have thrown in prison. And we want that stopped. And we want people protected from this criminal organization that both Republicans and Democrats refuse to address. And our Democrats and Republican friends in Washington also refuse to secure our border. And yet, what happens when you refuse to secure our border? Well, you don't really have a war on terror. You're not really stopping terrorists who want to come into our country. You're not stopping the flow of drugs. You're not stopping the flow of human trafficking. And this is where the federal government actually has some jurisdiction. A legitimate constitutional jurisdiction is at the border. But they won't do it. And so they'll spend $90 billion a year to try to stop drugs after they let them all in through the southern border. And so it's also ridiculous, it's also hypocritical, it's also opposite of everything our federal government is supposed to be doing, and that's exactly what we're going to be pointing out at our national press conference tomorrow morning.
Are you going to be at the National Press Club in D.C.?
Yes, yes, That's right where it's at.
Okay, great, and I'm looking at cspoa.org, and of course there is the schedule there, and It begins actually tonight, doesn't it?
We are having a social tonight and meet and greet. And then during that time tonight, we'll be watching the 75th anniversary of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. What a powerful movie about the inner workings and corruption of Congress and how things really work there. And when you consider this movie was made 75 years ago, you can only pretty much bet that things are a little bit worse today. And they are. And so we're kind of getting our own patriotic juices flowing tonight by watching Jimmy Stewart in that great movie, an iconic movie about Washington, D.C. politics. Because it really is what we're trying to wake people up to tomorrow morning at our press conference.
And I just want to make a quick comment about what you were saying as far as the IRS agents not only not getting reprimanded or indicted or anything, but getting bonuses and promotions. I've been finding out as time goes on that this is par for the course for the government, and the laws are written by the Department of Justice to allow them great leeway to do basically whatever they want in any ways that they want.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot, Sheriff, to turn this around. And what you're saying is absolutely 100% accurate. And it's a shame that we've come this far down this road.
Well, it is. And where we really want to focus, and what we will say tomorrow right at the beginning, that there really are no solutions to any of this in Washington, D.C. It's really a shame that they don't do their job or respect the rule of law or secure our borders. So we have to come up with other solutions. And our sheriffs and local officials have the power to provide those solutions. And we make the federal government irrelevant, and we get governors to send the National Guard down to the borders and get those borders secure. The governor in California, of course, is not going to do that. Then the sheriffs in those areas need to do it. Doesn't look like they're going to do it either. But I guess if we have the courage to do it in Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, then we can show California a blueprint for what should be done, and we get the job done. And right now, that is the greatest security threat to our own country, is lack of security at the border.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Like you said, it's the opposite of what you would think that they should do. And we live in an opposite world, it seems,
yeah,
especially when it comes to the federal government. So tonight, between 6 and 10, you're going to be showing Mr. Smith Goes to Washington on, like you said, the 75th anniversary, amazing, of that iconic movie. And then tomorrow, beginning at 0700 Eastern Time, you got breakfast, I guess a buffet there, 7 to 8. And then 8 o'clock, it starts with the MC, Sam Bushman, host of Liberty Roundtable. And then it goes all the way to, looks like 10:45 there, where you, Sheriff Mack, you're going to be speaking about exactly what you just said, Solutions Are Not in Washington, about your new book, Are You a David? Is that right?
Yes, and in fact, if any of your listeners want to pick that up, it's available only at my website. We're still trying to get it to Amazon. Haven't done that yet, but it's available. Are You a David? Answering the question about all our public officials, especially our sheriffs. If you have a David sheriff who will stand up to the Goliath, and Goliath can take many forms, but probably the worst is the federal bureaucracies known as the IRS and EPA and FDA and DHS and many of these others. Isn't it amazing we have a Department of Homeland Security, and yet our border is still not protected any better since we formed that group, since the 9/11 attacks? Our borders are more porous and less secure than when we formed that new bureaucracy. So the question remains, are you a David? In fact, every citizen, do you have a David sheriff? Do you want a sheriff like Tony DeMaio, who in Nevada stood up against the BLM and the Forest Service, or a county farther south in Clark County, Las Vegas area, as Sheriff Doug Gillespie refused to stand up to the BLM and let them do anything they wanted within his county, even making makeshift corrals where people were allowed and required to have freedom of speech? If they didn't do it in the corral, in the fenced-in area, then they were arrested and beaten and tased. And so we want to know, which sheriff do you want in your county? A David sheriff who will stand and protect you and be a buffer between you and the federal onslaught and federal bureaucrats who want to destroy your land or whatever, whatever they want to do. Do you want a sheriff who will stand in the way and be a check and balance on that? Or do you want sheriffs who say, no, I can't interfere? Which sheriff do you want? I mean, literally, even if you're a Democrat, liberal, crazy, whatever, I don't care. Maybe you're a rhino Republican. Maybe you're a liberal Republican. Maybe you're just a kind of conservative, or you're a constitutionalist, or you're a libertarian. Do you want a sheriff who will be a check and balance on federal government? Or do you want a sheriff who will say, I can't interfere. The federal government is the supreme authority, and they can do whatever they want in my county? Tell me, which sheriff do you want in your county?
I know what I want. I'm sure the listeners know what they want. All they have to do is just do something. Go to cspoa.org and join this organization, cspoa.org. And I like that tagline there, Sheriff, the last line of defense. And I like that new logo you got there, sharp. And of course, click on the shop tab. And this is what we were just talking about, the book, Are You a David? And you can get it there. It's $12 a copy. Sheriff, I've said it before, I'll say it each time we speak, you're a great man, you're a great American, and thank you so much for what you're doing, and I appreciate it. I know so many people who appreciate what you do, and thanks for taking the time out today to explain all this to the listeners, and I wish you the best of luck tonight and tomorrow at the conference, and looking forward to talking to you real soon.
Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate it.